Lord, I tell you, it has been really good being here in Long Island. We have definitely felt at home here. We've been taken really good care of by the pastors of the church, and as well as being the first night we were with a few churches all kind of teaming up together. It's been really, really good, but it's been too fast. It's like, it's always nice to go home, but sometimes it's like, I'm not done yet. I want to keep going. You guys have been a very, very, very good and kind just group of people to minister to, and you've ministered to our hearts as well, seeing you hungry for the Lord. I tell you, there's nothing like it. I could preach all day long when somebody's hungry. You know, I don't want to go somewhere and just fill somebody's head full of knowledge and facts. I want there to be open heaven. I want there to be a strong presence of the Lord. I want you to look back from this day several months from now or a year from now and say, that was a defining moment in my life. Not because of a man or a personality, but because I had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus came and he ministered to me. And that's what it's all about. It's about us coming closer to the Lord and him sparking a hunger and a thirst on the inside of us. Amen. Well, we've been recording all of the messages. We have this little gadget that I have hooked up to me. And so there's three messages total. And we're just giving those messages away. If you want to go to our website at findrefuge.tv, and if you click on media, you'll have to give me a day or so. I will edit these and I'll put them under the media audio section, and then you can download them for free. You can pass them around if you like, or you know, whatever the Lord leads you to do. And we have business cards on our table in the back there that has the website written down just in case you don't have a pen. We also have some books back there. You can take a look at that. We always appreciate those that look at our books. Right now we're gearing up, Diane and I are gearing up by faith to go to England. We're going to Germany, and there's talk of Wales and Norway as well in May. We already have England set up, we have Germany set up, and there's others being set up. So when you get a book, that helps us. It's very expensive to travel. And so we just appreciate you looking at our books, and we appreciate you hosting us. Thank you for all of those that brought us in. We so appreciate being here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer one last time and dig into what the Lord would have for us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. You are a good, good God. You are a wonderful Jesus. And Jesus, we want you to come in this place. We want you to be our honored guest. We want you to walk amongst us. We want you to touch us deep inside of our hearts. We want us to come into that place of deep hunger and thirst for you. So Lord, bring us into that place. Stir us, Lord. Stir us, Lord. I pray that you would stir us, Father. Stir us for you, Lord Jesus. Let that love be fervent and red hot. Lord, let the embers of our souls be stoked with the fire of your presence. We ask you, Lord, for the manifestation of your presence in this place. That every heart and every life that's sitting in this place or those that will listen after, we pray in the name of Jesus that their lives would be touched by you. That you would bring spirit and life, that you'd bring impartation into our lives, Father, like only you can. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would come and that you would move upon me. I yield my vessel over to you. I yield my vessel over to you, and I promise you the glory. I'm leaning upon you. I am leaning upon you, and I will hide behind your cross as you receive the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, the Lord has been speaking to me about the year 2018. And each year, toward the end of the year, I begin to go into prayer and seeking and asking the Lord, give me a word for 2018, or give me a word for 2017. And he's so faithful to begin to download me. And so there's this message that he has downloaded within me for the year 2018, but it actually goes beyond 2018. It goes into 2019 and 2020, I believe. And I'm just going to begin to share some things that the Lord has been sharing with me about the year 2018. And we're going to tie in fervent prayer, seeking the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about revival, awakening, and the Lord moving upon His people. So the Lord spoke to me and He said that the year 2018 is the year of the deep. It's the year of the deep. Psalms chapter 42, we're going to start there and we'll get into the deep here in a second. Chapter 42, starting with verse 1, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. This is not just an ordinary verse. We sometimes read this verse and we go, okay, as the hart or as the deer. Or we think of the song. You remember that old song that we used to sing? But as the deer panteth after the water, so my soul panteth after me, O Lord. And we sing and we talk about that verse. But it doesn't do anything. It's just kind of words on paper. I want you to go beyond the words. And I want you to look into a heart. This is David speaking. And David had this desire that went beyond just a little good intention. There was this thirst on the inside of him. There was this hunger on the inside of him. And so he cries out, as the deer panteth after the waters, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I've been asking the Lord, Lord, in the year 2018, would you allow me to experience that same passion, that same hunger, that same thirst that David had? He wanted a touch from the living God. Not a dead God. Not a God that's far off somewhere. But the living God. You see, religion can be quite dead. It can be full of dead routines and liturgy. But there's something special about having an intimate walk with the Lord. Like Moses, who cried out to the Lord, that I may know thee. That I may know thee. There was a cry on the inside of his heart that he might know the Lord. And so I'm asking the Lord that in the year 2018 that he would captivate me. You know that couple that's captivated with each other? Remember how it was when you first got married? Captivated. Couldn't wait to see one another. May it be that way with the Lord. May we be captivated. May he be the last thing that we think about when we go to sleep. May we fall asleep literally thinking about the Lord. In Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2, it talks about how I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. That means I'm sleeping, but my heart is still awake to the deeper things of God. I'm asleep, I might be unconscious, but my spirit is still standing. My lantern is still burning before the throne room of God. I'm still on fire even though I'm sleeping, Jesus. I'm asleep, but my heart is awake. I can remember when the Lord began to give me this verse. And I began to ask the Lord that when I'm sleeping, my heart would be awake. And in the middle of the night, I would suddenly sit up in my bed and I would begin to prophesy. Now, I wasn't thinking about prophecy. I didn't feel anointed. I wasn't even awake. But suddenly I sat straight up in my bed and I'm like, and the Lord says, and I mean, I was this because my spirit was awake. Amen. I wasn't sleeping, spiritually speaking. Sometimes I would sit up in my bed, and I'd be speaking in tongues. I was getting blessed by myself. I'm like, thank you, Spirit, that you're awake. It's a sad day when your flesh is asleep and your spirit is asleep. Wake up to the things of the Spirit. Sometimes we got to stir ourselves. We got to tell ourselves, okay, we've been coasting long enough. It's 2018. It's time to get serious about the things of God. Amen. It's time to wake up. It's time to stop going into that apathetic mode that I can get into, that we've all gotten into. It's time to stir up the embers for the things of the Spirit. There is an apathetic spirit. There is a lukewarm spirit that has been unleashed. Let me say it again. An apathetic, lukewarm spirit that has been unleashed in the church today. It's the season, or it's the day of Laodicea. We see it. We're rich in goods. We got plenty, but we're deader than a doornail. We've substitute the anointed word of God for sermonizing. No living bread in the oven. We've substituted the anointing for charisma. Those that use and merchandise the anointing for their own good. We see this. And I'm not painting a depressing picture, but I am saying this. There is a church within a church. There is a people within a people that God is preparing. You see, some say, well, the Lord's coming back without a church without spot or wrinkle, and they're waiting for the whole church to wake up. That church is not everybody. It's a church within a church. It's five people in one church. It's 10 people in another church. It's one person in another church. It's three people in a church of 1,000. There is a remnant. That is the church within the church. And the Lord is busy preparing them. They are the bride. They are that remnant that has their lanterns burning before the throne room of God. They are the ones like David that are panting after the water. They want a touch from the living God. These are the ones that are stirred. They go to sleep, but their hearts are awake. They wake up and they say, "Thank you, Jesus. Another day to serve you and to love you." You know, there's nothing like walking in the Spirit. I don't like myself very much when I walk in the flesh. I can't stand myself. I literally can't stand it. If I don't have the mind of Christ, if I haven't been baptized in the Spirit fresh, I don't like myself. I want that consistent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That living water always flowing through me, because I am a wise virgin of Matthew chapter 25. So the Lord has been speaking to me about how 2018 is a year of the remnant crying out to God. It's a year of the remnant refusing to settle for status quo. You can have an easy street status quo relationship with the Lord, or you can go all at it. Nobody's stopping you. You stop yourself. I stop myself. So sometimes you got to shake yourself. Have you ever shook yourself and said, "Wake up? You've been coasting long enough. Now is the time"? I mean, if we could really see into the Spirit and see where we're at right now, we would say, I need to be busy. Yeah. Because it really is just like Matthew chapter 25. Five foolish, five wise. This is not five Christians and five sinners. Nowhere in the Bible is a virgin ever a type of a sinner. This is 10 Christians. Five foolish Christians, five wise Christians. In every church you will see the foolish and the wise. There's sometimes that we've been amongst the foolish. I have. And there's sometimes that we've been amongst the wise. I want to be amongst the wise. I want oil in my lamp. I want oil in my lamp. I want to be expectant. I want to be ready. I want to be sitting there looking and gazing in the direction of my King, of the heavenly bridegroom who's looking for that mature bride. We know he's coming for a bride who's ready. Revelations 19, verses 7 through 9. I'm not going to read all of those verses to you. But we know that the bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. She's ready. She's the wise virgins of Matthew 25. She's the one who's expectant. And she's the one who's ready. So the Lord gave me a vision. And in the vision, I saw a beautiful bride. And the beautiful bride was walking on top of the water. And she had a lantern in her hand. And she was facing Jesus, our heavenly bridegroom. And there was a look of adoration on her face as she was gazing into the eyes of Jesus. She was expectant. Underneath her was water. There were waves, but the waves didn't affect her. She was on top of the waves, looking into the eyes of the sweet Master. And I began to think about this vision. And I was so captivated that I had an artist actually do a picture of it, of this beautiful bride holding a lantern, standing on top of the water, looking at the heavenly bridegroom. And the Lord had recently downloaded, well, actually, not recently, but had downloaded a book inside of me, and I had been writing it for several years, and I just finished it. It's called Draw Me, The Deep Cry of the Bride. And I chose that picture to go on that cover. And I could see it in my spirit. I could see it in my spirit. That anticipation, that adoration. And I began to ask the Lord, Lord, in the year 2018, let me have an adoration for you, a worship for you, a love for you that I've not had ever before. Do you believe that the Lord can give you a love?
Yes.
Maybe you don't feel super on fire, but are you willing to be made on fire? Maybe you don't feel tons and tons of, you know, lots of love for God right now, but do you believe that God can give you that love? So that's what I begin to ask the Lord. Lord, give me more love. Let me not be satisfied. Give me more love, Jesus. And he gave me this verse, verse number 7. This is our key verse. Then we're going to get into what the Lord gave me for the year. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Deep calleth unto deep, or deep cries out to deep. The Lord began to show me that there is an inner restlessness that he has placed within the heart of his people. There is a yearning, there is a deep cry that is placed there, and they want to be satisfied with something, but they can't put their finger on it. They don't feel satisfied. There's this something there that they want, and they know they haven't arrived. The Lord says, I'm placing an inner restlessness within my people that they would begin to search after me and seek after me, that I may fulfill the deepest longings of their heart, the thing that they cry out. There's a cry right now over the waters where the deep is calling out unto the deep. The deep within you is crying out to the deep within the Lord. And the deep within the Lord is crying out to the deep in you. And there's a fellowship and a koinonia and a specialness that's happening right now between us and our heavenly bridegroom. And he said in the year 2018, I want that special person, that special bride, to begin to yearn after me, to begin to love me like they've never loved me before, and I will fellowship with them and they with me. There will be a quality of relationship that we have not experienced in the past if we will yearn for it and long for it. And so this cry that I was hearing over the deep, I kept on hearing this cry. And the Lord began to show me that this cry has three distinctions, each prophetic in nature, that will be pivotal in 2018. And I'm going to give you the three cries that I heard over the face of the deep. The first cry is the cry of Father's heart. The cry of Father's heart. I want you to think about this. That Father, although He's Abba, although He's all-powerful, although He's all-knowing, although He's omnipresent, He can be everywhere at the same time. The same Father who spoke the world into existence with the spoken word. This same Father has a cry in His heart. And if you were to listen into the Spirit right now, you would hear over the waters the cry from Father's heart. A cry that says, I want you. I desire you. I'm yearning for you. I'm longing for you. And I'm wooing you into the secret place in 2018. There is a cry that can be heard if we're willing to tune our ears to what the Spirit is saying. Let him that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. This is mentioned so many times. Let him that have ears to hear, let him hear. Hear the cry of the Father's heart. If you will get a revelation of Father's heart and His cry for you, you will not have dry eyes. I encourage you to get alone with the Lord sometime today, tomorrow, when you can. Get alone with the Lord and say, Father, let me hear your cry. And I am telling you, you will become overwhelmed by Father's love. Knowing that although you're one of billions of people, yet He still loves you with an everlasting love. It's like you have all of Jesus to yourself. You have all of Father to yourself. I have all of Father to myself. You have all of Father. Father is God. We don't know how He can do it, but He can do it. It's like it's just you and God in the universe. But yet I have the same thing. It's a wonderful thing. You are not an afterthought. He's not too busy. He is interested in you. He wants to bring you to that next level in Him in 2018. He wants you to hear His heart, that cry, and He wants you to be transformed by that cry. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 8, and it says, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. I love this verse. I get excited about this verse. To think that the heavenly bridegroom comes leaping upon the mountains and skipping on the hills just to be with me. That's Father's heart. Isn't that awesome? That He is actually excited to spend time with you. He comes leaping. He comes running. And He comes skipping. Skipping suggests that He's excited. He's not sitting there with a downcast look going, oh, I got to spend some time with Steve today. He's skipping. He's already waiting for me in the garden of the Lord. I've received revelation so many times when I was called to go and pray. I would see the garden and I would see the Lord sitting in the garden waiting for me. And His face that shines so bright and His eyes that blaze like fire was looking in my direction, and He was so thankful. He was so blessed because I decided to go into the secret place. I don't know how that's possible, but yet it is. That He would come skipping upon the hills and He would have anticipation and He would be excited about me coming into the garden. Yet He is and He does. He's excited every time you steal away and you spend some time with Him. He's excited every time that you decide to choose Him over something else. When you sacrifice your time just to be in His presence, He goes, that is sacrificial love. He loves it when you're obedient and you answer the calls to come. In the year 2018, there is a call. And the Lord's coming, skipping and running in your direction. Understand Father's heart and Father's love. Look at verse number 9, Song of Solomon chapter 2, going down one verse. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. So here we see a prophetic picture of Jesus, who's behind the wall, looking through the lattice, and a window being open. This speaks of a cautious bridegroom. And I believe right now that we see this in the church today. He is cautiously approaching the church. The window is open. There's an opportunity for us to receive all that he has for us. Yet he's cautiously standing behind the lattice and he's looking and he's saying, do you want me? Do you desire me? Do you want everything that I have? Oh, I'm yearning. Can you hear my heart? I'm yearning. I'm yearning for you. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I want to open that door. I want to walk in. But yet, he is a gentleman, so he stands back and he waits to see if we truly want him. So there's many meetings and we say, we want you, Lord. We want you, Lord. And he stands back. And he's standing back because he wants to know, do we really mean what we say? Are we really, really, truly desiring him? Are they just words? And so he stands cautiously back. He knocks. He stands cautiously back. And he wants to bring an encounter that's life transforming. Not only to us individually, but to all of us collectively. He is after the church. He desires to come inside of his church. He desires to rest there. But he will not barge through the back door. He will not force himself into a place. He will not be rude. He'll be cautious. When I think about the Lord standing back and looking through the lattice, my heart is overcome. Because I see a bridegroom that's so in love with me. I can see his eyes just saying, oh, I want Steve so much. But I want to make sure that he wants me. Is Steve just praying a prayer because he's caught up in the moment? Or is this truly something that's desirous on the inside of him? Is he crying out like David cried out for the living God? Or is he just crying out to cry out? I can see the Lord just standing there looking through the lattice. And when I get that picture, I become undone. Because I think about the purity of the love of Jesus. I think about how Jesus so desires me that he would stand. And I don't want the Lord to stand back. I want that window wide open. I don't want him to stand back. I want him to come in. I shared this story a couple nights ago in our first meeting. But we were just doing meetings up in Ontario, Canada, where the Lord began to really move. And I shared this very same scripture verse. And the people began to cry out to the Lord. They didn't want the Lord to pass them by. There was a hunger that was placed within their hearts to cry out for more. They could hear the voice of the Father. They could feel his heart. And so the Spirit of God began to move. And I have never experienced this in a meeting before. And I've been in a lot of meetings. I've preached thousands of times now. I'm a preacher's kid, so I was in church 9 months before I was born. So I know all about being in church. I have never experienced a meeting like this before where I knew that Jesus physically walked through the door of the church. When he walked into the church, there was an outcry. That's all I can do. I can't explain it with words. There was a heavenly release. Everyone in the place, that every hair of my head and body was standing up. I looked over at Diane. I said, as sure as I am standing here, Jesus is in the building. He is here. I had set a chair up on the stage. I said, this is the resting place of Jesus, where he, our heavenly bridegroom, he can come and he can rest. And I knew that Jesus had made his way from the back of the church up the aisle all the way to his chair. There was a clarinet player that began to play the clarinet. It was the most heavenly clarinet that I have ever heard played in my life. It was no longer talent. It was a heavenly anointed playing that was inviting Jesus into the sanctuary. It was like an entourage. It was like an introduction to the Lord coming. It was beautiful. And then the worship leader began to sing the song, "Behold the bridegroom comes, behold the bridegroom comes." I mean, it blew me away. Well, the meeting started to pack out. There was no seats left in the church after that. Word got out everywhere. We went on the radio, and that went out to 3 stations around Ontario. And now we've been invited back to Ontario to do more meetings. 10 churches want to come together. And I say that not because it had anything to do with us. It had everything to do with the people of God got hungry for the Lord and invited him to come. They didn't want him to see him standing behind the lattice. They wanted him to come in and take over the meeting, and Jesus came in. Amen. And we were so honored and privileged to be a part of it. I was just as blessed as they were. I wasn't preaching when Jesus walked through the door. I was sitting there worshiping. So it wasn't me. It was the Lord. He came in the meeting. And there has been a stirring in Brantford, Ontario. So much so that we're going back in 2 weeks to continue on. I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. Well, I began to pray and ask the Lord this. Could there be a stirring in Long Island? Could there be a stirring again in Long Island? Where Jesus wouldn't stand behind the lattice, but that he would come in and take over a meeting. See, that's the job. Then I can sit down and let the Lord take over. Amen. We occupy until he comes. Hallelujah. That the Lord would come in and begin to touch people's lives. I tell you, there won't be one seat left when Jesus comes in the building. Everybody in Brantford, Ontario was talking. Not because of me, but because the Lord came through the door. That makes all the difference. It was the most beautiful thing. You know what? And I have a heart to see that happen in Long Island. To see that happen in the boroughs of New York City, that there would be a great visitation that which would lead to a habitation of the glory of the Lord. Amen. Can it happen? Is he any respect of persons? Yes, he loves Ontario, but he also loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see the cry of the Father. The second cry that we see going over the waters is the cry of fervent intercession. It's a birthing of a new season in the church. I could hear the cry of intercession going out. There are some that don't place a lot of value on prayer, but I'm here to tell you that prayer changes everything. Those that don't want to pray make up excuses about why you don't have to pray. But prayer changes everything. Fervent prayer and intercession. I'm talking about fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer means on fire prayer. It means connecting with God in your heart. In that vision where I saw the beautiful bride, there was a cry that went out. It was the cry of Father's heart, but there also was a cry of fervent prayer and intercession. The second Great Awakening with Charles Finney happened in upstate New York, in the very city that I live in, Rochester. And there was a man. His name was Father Nash, also known as Daniel Nash. They nicknamed him Father Nash. He was not as known as much as Charles Finney was, but he was the power behind Charles Finney. He would go into a city before Charles Finney ever got there, and he would find some dark cellar somewhere, and he would begin to intercede, and he would begin to pray, and he would begin to groan, and he would begin to travail. And if you're an intercessor, you know exactly what I'm talking about, what groaning and travail is. He would travail. Once him and another brother was in a room. It was some sort of inn, and they were groaning and crying and pleading and, you know, doing all kinds of things. And the innkeeper got so worried that she got word to Charles Finney, "You must come quick. Something's wrong. These men keep crying and groaning, and I don't know what to do with them. They never come out of their room. They don't eat." Charles Finney said, "Oh, they're just praying. They're caught up with the spirit of prayer and intercession." And there was such an outpouring because of Daniel Nash and a couple brothers that got together and would pray. It was said over Rome, New York, I stood on what is known as the American Corner, where just not long ago, I mean in the late 1800s, great revival shook that city of Rome. So much so that it was said that when you walked into Rome, New York, you could hear people crying and praying no matter where you went in the streets. You would go into the town by the shops, people would be praying and people would be crying out to the Lord. There was a great, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Rome, New York, because of the prayers of Daniel Nash. John Hyde, also known as Praying Hyde, was a prayer warrior. Look it up on Amazon, in fact. He has some books out there about his life. And he used to pray in India for the Indian people. It's said that he prayed so much and so long that literally toward the end of his life that his heart literally shifted to the other side of his chest. His heart physically shifted. I believe it's because he was caught up in such prayer that it moved his heart. He used to pray, just like Father Nash would pray till his nose bled. These men would pray till they were sweating, and they would fall weak upon their bed because they were overcome with the spirit of prayer and intercession. These men seen a large number of souls saved. I believe, and I talked about that in the other messages, and I'm not going to recap, but there is another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants to bring. He wants to bring it to Long Island. He wants to bring it to America. He wants to bring it to Canada. He wants to bring it around the world. And he's looking for a forerunner, not just one Father Nash or Praying Hyde or Reese Howell, not just one Walter Butler, but he's looking for a remnant. He's looking for a corporate group that will join together and begin to pray and birth another great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Instead of one man, it's going to be a multitude of intercessors that begin to pray this in. I want to encourage the intercessors of Long Island to join together and begin to pray like Father Nash prayed, like John Hyde prayed, like Reese Howell prayed, like Walter Butler prayed, like so many of the other prayer warriors. I'm working on a book right now with 12 prayer warriors and their stories and how it changed the world. I'm telling you, if we could see that cry of fervent prayer and intercession, we will see another outpouring of the Holy Spirit hit our land. And there will be some that will come along and say, "You don't need to pray, you don't need to do that," and they'll kind of just bring it down. But I'm telling you, as soon as Father Nash died, Charles Finney went back to just preaching in a local church. His international ministry was over. The revival stopped. Prayer is the fuel and the fire that brings a move of God. And he's looking for someone that will pray. These meetings that we've had, even in Long Island, I have intercessors. Some of them, on Friday night, were literally dancing before the Lord during the entire service in their homes. Faraway states like Arizona, England, Missouri, people praying, interceding. Well, I know that when these people pray, things happen. What would happen if the intercessors of Long Island would begin to pray and intercede for a move of the Spirit, for a great outpouring of God? We could see a great move, a great visitation, which would lead to a great habitation of the Lord. Amen. Fervent intercession. And lastly, and I'm going to end, the third cry that I heard was the cry of our hearts. So the first cry was Father's heart, his cry. The second cry that I heard was the cry of fervent prayer and intercession. And the third is the cry of our hearts. There's a cry, there's a yearning on the inside of his bride that's yearning for the king. There's a special want that has been placed there by the Lord, a want for the deeper things, a want for a real true touch, a want for a personal visitation, a want for living bread from the ovens of heaven, a want for life, spirit and life, a want for impartation, a want for the chambers of the king, for the courts of the Lord, a want for Jesus, not just his hands, but his face. In the year 2018, there's going to be a transition from those that are just seeking after his hands to those that realize that there's this hole in their heart and they need more than just the blessing. They need more than just the manifestation. They need more than just the signs and the wonders. They need him. They want him. They want Jesus. I love when my girls come to me just because they love Dad, not because I just gave them $20. When they come to me and they say, they love me. The other day, my daughter, my youngest daughter, who doesn't say it all the time, told me that she loved me. And I did a screenshot of that text, and I'm keeping it. It meant something to me, you know. And when I start to miss her, I look at that little picture that I have where she says, I love you, Dad. Well, you know what? The Lord has a picture of you. He pulls out his phone. And he looks at your picture. He records videos of you going, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Father. And he plays them back. I mean, I'm an earthly dad, and I did that. How much more would our Heavenly Father do that? Oh, that's powerful. That's for somebody. There's a special want. There's a special deep desire for the Lord that's been placed there. We can't communicate it, but we long for it. There's this glow that's coming from the secret place. This glow, this sound, this invitation. The garden of the Lord is in full bloom. You can sense the breeze blowing. You can sense the Master sitting there waiting. You can see it, can't you? And there's a yearning that's compelling you to come. Oh, you're busy doing this, and you're busy doing that, and you're busy doing this, and you're busy doing that, you're busy doing this, but there's a call. There's a yearning. There's a desire. You're being pulled into the garden of the Lord. You're being pulled into the secret place. And as soon as you walk in, Jesus stands up. There's my bride. There's my one and only. There's my dove. There's my treasure. I cherish her. Can you imagine the Lord speaking these kind and loving words over you? Yet he does. Take Jesus off the wall and make him your personal bridegroom. The one that you love more than anyone else. Thank you, Jesus. Song of Solomon 1:4 says, draw me and I will run after thee. The king has brought me into his chambers. Draw me speaks of spiritual hunger. Draw me, it's a cry from deep within. Over the waters, I can hear that cry. Draw me. Draw me, Lord. Make me more hungry for you. Draw me, Lord, that I may run after thee. Oh, you ask the Lord to draw you just how you are. And as you begin to run after him, there is a cleansing and a purging that takes place. Sometimes people wait until they're perfect to go into the presence of the Lord. You come as you are. You say, Lord, draw me. And as the Lord begins to draw you, you will run after him. And within the running, there is a consecration that takes place. Within the running, there's a cleansing and a purging and a restoring. So yeah, you might not have it all together, but just cry out, draw me. And begin to run after the Lord, and he'll begin to cleanse you and purge you, mold you and shape you, restore you and heal you, deliver you, amen, of everything that you need. And then the third part of the verse is, the king has brought me into his chambers. So you go into the chambers of the king, the most intimate place. You can't just come barging into the chambers. That's for the bride. Yet the Lord is bidding for you to come past the veil into the Holy of Holies through the shed blood of Jesus. There's a place for you into the chambers of the king, into the garden of the Lord, into the courts. There's a place for you into the Holy of Holies. He's bidding for you to come. You could see the glow. You could see the garden in full bloom. He's standing, he's waiting, and he's bidding for you to come. Come away with me, my love. And you say, draw me. And you begin to run after him, and you're being changed into the same image of the Lord. You're being conformed, and sometimes it hurts to be conformed. And sometimes when he begins to scourge us, it's painful, but that flesh is coming off of us, and we'll be taking on the beauty of the Lord, becoming more like him. And going into the chambers and beginning to just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm in your chambers. I'm in that place of intimacy. And so I could see in 2018 this cry going over the waters. This beautiful bride holding a lantern. The lantern is symbolic that she has prepared herself with oil. She's ready. She's wise. She hasn't been wasting time. Deep calleth unto deep. She's standing on top of the waters. Deep calleth unto deep. The deep in her is calling out to the deep in the heavenly bridegroom. And at the same time, I could hear the three cries over the water. Father's heart's cry. The cry of fervent prayer and intercession. And your cry. Going to the Father, draw me. This is a prophetic picture of 2018, and this is God's will and desire for each and every one of us. I hope that you just don't take this as just some sermon, but that you will grab a hold of it and you will say, this is my message for 2018. Amen. Amen. Last month, I wrote an article on this very same message. It's available at our website if you want more on that. We have a book that's on this whole thing because it's such a revelation in our hearts. And I want to be ready. I want Father to make us ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, what a privilege and an honor. What a privilege and an honor to be in Long Island. And I thank you that it's not by accident that we're all here together. But every one of us are here by divine appointment. We're here by divine appointment. I pray, Father, that you would take the words that come straight from your heart. And that you would place them within the hearts of your people. that it would be as if a hot coal of fire. A hot coal of fire would be placed within their hearts. In Jesus' name. For that cry is coming forth. That cry is powerful. That cry will make the nation shake. The cry will make the enemy run in terror. The cry will bring weeping. The cry will bring repentance. The cry will shake people out of apathy and lukewarmness. The cry will light people on fire with fervency and power. Father, I impart that cry in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you for the stirring that you're beginning to do in Long Island. I pray that it would continue. I pray, Father, for those that may have not have heard the messages, Lord, that they would hear it online, that, Father, that there would be a great outworking. To the weekend here, that many, Father, would sense your spirit, not that they would be impressed with me, but they would be impressed with you, and they would feel that deep, deep longing for more. I pray that you would come with a personal visitation to Long Island again. You have come in the past. I know you have. Yes, Jesus. Yes. I pray for another stirring in Long Island in Jesus' name. Another stirring in Long Island. What you've done in Brantford, Ontario, you can do on Long Island. Lord, do it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know there's a meal prepared. I want to be sensitive to that. But if you would like special prayer, I'll go over to the side, and I'd be happy to pray for anybody that would like special prayer.